Okay, so today, we're focused on really two major lines of business: our EVO MT products, which target large haul trucks, and then we have another product that we've developed for stationary power applications. That's the generator, compression, pumping, drilling, rig-type application to enable those generators and pump drives, et cetera, to run on diesel and natural gas. And then we're all in the midst of developing a retrofit conversion system for a specific type of heavy-duty line haul locomotives. But today we're really going to talk about the mining sector and our EVO MT products. To date, we've developed retrofit conversion systems for four specific models of haul trucks: the 777 and 793 Caterpillars. These are the B, Cs, and D versions of these trucks, as well as the Komatsu 830 and 930 diesel-electric haul trucks. Just some highlights of the fundamental technology here. What we're talking about is natural gas and diesel operation simultaneously. This is not about converting a diesel engine, a compression ignition engine, to somehow run on 100% natural gas. This is about enabling the diesel engine to accept a certain amount of natural gas, to do so in a safe fashion and displace a commensurate amount of diesel on an energy equivalent basis, on a BTU per BTU basis. We refer to that as NG plus D, to differentiate it from, let's say, other terms that are out there, such as bi-fuel and dual fuel, which have different connotations in different marketplaces. Our offering is the complete solution for the haul truck. What we'd like to say is that we'll wrap our arms around a haul truck and provide all of the necessary hardware and software and systems to enable that truck to, number one, safely stored LNG onboard the vehicle, vaporize it, deliver the gas in a controlled fashion down into the engine compartment and into the engine. We do all that while still maintaining the OEM level of performance on the engine. So horsepower, torque, all of those things remain unchanged when you're operating in natural gas plus diesel kind of mode. You always have the ability to revert back to 100% diesel. So as I said before, this is it's a retrofit that involves the addition of ancillary hardware to the engine and a variety of controls. But it doesn't modify the engine per se. You're not going in and changing out pistons or anything like that. So that's important, because when you revert back to 100% diesel, that engine can then run on 100% diesel just as it did before, without any kind of a derate or anything like that. And as I said, we've developed systems for four specific models of haul trucks. The game plan is to look at additional models of trucks, both from the Cat and Komatsu line, as well as some other manufacturers that are out there, primarily driven by market demand from customers, as well as just the sizes of the fleets that we see out there, which justify the business proposition of developing a specific system. Just some statistics to date. So we have 24 trucks that have been converted with our technology that are up and running right now. As you see, 17 are 793 Caterpillars, two are 830 Komatsus. We have five 930 Komatsus. We've had about 170,000 hours of runtime on these trucks to date. We haven't had any lost time incidents. So the safety record of LNG as a fuel in this very early stage of introducing it in the mining sector is still very, very good. And if you look at liquid natural gas outside of mining, where it's primarily been in use for many, many years, it has a very good safety record. As you probably know, it's used as a fuel for buses, garbage trucks, some Class 8 type over-the-road trucks, and it has a very good safety record there. Talking a little bit about kind of the road that we've been on. The company was started in 2007, and from 2007 to 2010, basically, we were in a product development mode. We have a long history in the diesel to natural gas space. The management team, that is, were the founders of a precursor company that was the first company to kind of bring to market this technology for stationary applications, where we were hooked up to nice pipeline gas. After we sold that business, we were looking for another challenge, and we settled on mobile applications, specifically the large haul trucks. And we arrived at that because in working with a mining company that had been using our systems on generators, we realized that the 2-megawatt Caterpillar 3516B power generator, that's the same engine that's on a 793. And the 2-meg Cummins power generator, that's a QSK60. That's the same engine that you see on the Komatsu. So we recognized that there was an opportunity there, that we already had kind of the core engine technology, but clearly we're no longer tied to a pipeline. So now we have to figure out how do we carry enough natural gas on board that truck to make this whole thing make economic sense. And we very quickly realized that you had to do that in the form of liquid natural gas. That was the only way you could get enough BTUs of gas on board the truck in a fashion that would make the usage of that gas over time economic in the truck. So we spent from 07 to 010 basically developing the basic technology, which eventually came to the field in late 2010 on the field trial of a 777. This was in Eastern Appalachia, and that gave us the opportunity to have several mining companies visit the trial and interact with the driver and see the system. That then led to our first pilot test with Alpha Natural Resources, which was really our launch customer and the company that really had the kind of the vision and the foresight back in those early days to recognize the potential of this technology. With Alpha, we have continued to add trucks. We have added an additional 12 793s. So currently at their Eagle Butte mine, they have 16 haul trucks operating with diesel and natural gas. The game plan is to convert additional trucks over the next 2 years and then move to their Bel Air mine to do the same thing. They have also recently announced a deal with a third-party LNG project developer who is going to be putting in a liquefaction plant, very small-scale liquefaction plant, right on the edge of their property and liquefying natural gas right there in Gillette, Wyoming, which would reduce the cost of delivered LNG, which is really being trucked in now from locations maybe as far as like 300 miles away, significantly reduce that cost, maybe by as much as a third. So that's obviously very, very important in the current environment that we have, where diesel prices are extremely low. So as we looked into this business, diesel prices were low back in 07. They climbed up, they've come back down. We firmly believe that they're gonna climb back up, and so do many of the companies that we're dealing with. Also last year, we did our first electric drive haul truck. This was a trial that we did on an AC drive, 830 truck. This was the prototype of our Evo MT system for the electric drive truck. And as you'll see a little later on, it requires a totally different approach to how you store LNG on board the haul truck. But this this truck ran over at the Komatsu Proving Ground, south of Tucson. It basically went through all the paces that they would normally put a truck through. And, we were able to get some good data off of that. And coming off of that then, we delivered our first systems to another mining customer, also in the Powder River Basin. These were 830 DC drive trucks. We have since gone on to build out that installation. We added another four 930 trucks in late 2014, and we have just delivered an additional 10 930 trucks to that same site. So those things are in the process of being installed. What you see there actually in those trailers is the onboard fuel storage system for the 930, and that's something we'll talk about in a minute. We refer to that as a combo tank. So again, I'll get into that in a minute, but what you see in that module there, there is approximately 300 gallons of LNG capacity, that's net capacity, as well as the normal hydraulic reservoir capacity that you'd have for these trucks. The system is designed to be interchangeable between the 830 and the 930. The nice thing about that particular 830-930 combination is that the typical diesel tank is kind of is standard for both. The hydraulic cylinder is pretty much standard for both, just different capacities. So we were able to design the system to accommodate both types of trucks. We also just delivered our first system for the 793 Model D. You know, that's also in the process. I think that was just installed and commissioned last week. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the fundamentals of how this thing works. I mean, what are we actually doing here? As I said before, we're introducing natural gas into the diesel engine. And the way we do that is we introduce the gas into the engine's inlet airstream, upstream of the turbo compressor inlet. And that's done via an air gas mixer, which has an individually controlled throttle body. So if you think about a 3516 B engine with a quad turbo type of system, you're going to have four of these air gas mixers, each one individually controlled, supplying gas into the engine. That gas delivery is controlled by our own ECU, which is kind of our little proprietary controller. There's a series of, obviously, the wiring harnesses, series of engine sensors. We can interface with some of the OEM sensors, so we can read some of the sensor data that's coming in, and then we can use that in our own algorithms to determine when we put gas in, how much gas, when we don't put gas in, et cetera. And then there's a whole variety of safety sensors that we can talk about in a minute. So that was with regards to the gas delivery system and what's involved in getting gas into the engine. Let's talk about how you store LNG on the truck. How do you you got to store it in liquid form, but then you got to vaporize it, get it in gaseous form. At that point, it's typically going to be anywhere from 90 to 150 psi gas. So you're going to need to pressure reduce that to be able to introduce it into the engine. And we introduce gas into the engine at atmospheric to slightly positive pressure, like, let's say, 10 inches of water column. So this is very low pressure gas that is being introduced into the engine compartment. What you see here in this picture is a kind of a close-up of the fuel storage module that we developed for the 793 Caterpillar. In that module, we have 360 net gallons of LNG capacity. We have cryogenic shutoff valves, electronic normally closed shutoff valves, for each tank. We have an LNG vaporizer. We also have the high pressure and low pressure gas regulators, or gas train as we call it. Also includes the gas shutoff valves, which are also normally closed, electronically operated solenoid valves, along with all kinds of wiring and harnesses and sensors and piping and whatnot. On the gas shutoff side, we shut the gas off at both the gas level and the liquid level. So when our system is disabled, i.e. the EVO MTE is not running, the liquid is shut off, so there's no liquid flowing into the vaporizer, and the vaporized gas is closed off as well. So you have no gas entering into the engine. At this point, the engine is reverted back to 100% diesel operation. Now, why did we settle on that one spot? Well, the way we had to approach this was to basically send a team out to the field and do an analysis of what space claims are available on a haul truck. We decided that since we were coming out of the box with a new technology and introducing a new fuel into the mining sector, which is not familiar with it, we did not want to compromise the autonomy of the truck and play with the existing LNG tank capacity. In other words, we could have taken the existing CAT tank, taken it off, reduced it in capacity, created some space, added some tanks to it. But we said, no, coming out of the blocks, let's not do that. Let's see if we can find some other way to do this. And what we came up with this module, which we identified that particular area on these trucks, and that's why I've said the B, C, and the D, because in an F, that space is compromised already. But we came up with this system, which has functioned well. As I said, these were the very first designs that went out in the field back in 2012. And they really have done the job that they were intended to do, which is provide enough LNG storage on the truck to get you through a single shift operating on a diesel to natural gas displacement of 50%. That was the design criteria that we gave our designers. Figure out a way to get enough LNG on board that truck so that if we displace 50% of the normal diesel consumption, we can run on diesel and natural gas. Now, that does not mean that you're always, that you're running on a 50-50 blend. The amount of displacement that you see in the engine is really a function of what that engine is doing at any point in time. It's a dynamic variable. It's changing all the time. On the high end, we never introduce more than 70% gas into the engine. Okay. And then on the low end, there are times when it's not running on gas at all. For example, when you're idling, you're not running on gas. When you're going downhill, you're not running on gas. So what the customer ends up seeing over time is a weighted average or a blended average, let's say, of displacements across the duty cycle. And that's really what people look at the end of the day, is how much diesel did I not burn compared to what I usually would burn, and then how much LNG did I burn to make up for that diesel. So you see what we did with the Caterpillar. Now, looking at the Komatsus, clearly that space in any electric drive truck, that's where you got your switchgear, right? So there's no room up there. And by this time, we had enough experience in the field, and more importantly, our customers had enough experience with using LNG in the field that they came back to us and said, you know, you guys imposed that restriction about not touching the diesel tank. We don't care about that. I have my 830 or my 930. It comes with a 1,200 gallon diesel tank. I don't burn 1,200 gallons. I mean, some people do, but these guys didn't. So we don't mind if you look at that space. So that's what we did. We came up with a combo tank, which replaces the OEM hydraulic reservoir, which is a cylindrical tank that goes on that side of the truck where you see that white box. And in that module, we have 300 net gallons of LNG capacity. We have the requisite hydraulic fluid capacity. And we also have incorporated in there the vaporizer. So similar to the Caterpillar system, we have a module that includes, let's say, all of the cryogenic stuff, all of the stuff that operates with liquid natural gas. The fill point for that system is right below there. There's a little hatch that you can't really see too clearly. It's covered, but there you have the diesel fast fill, you have the LNG fast fill, you have your liquid tank LNG level there, you have a pressure gauge there. So the refueling occurs at ground level, the same way as it does on the Caterpillar. What I did not mention is that on the Cat, even though the fuel is stored at the top, you still have a remote LNG fill receptacle that's located at ground level or accessible from ground level right next to the diesel tank. One of the things that we did with these systems is we also developed an optional combo tank to replace the diesel tank. So in that scenario, you take off the 1,200 gallon OEM tank, you put on our tank, which contains about 710 gross, let's say 650 net usable gallons of diesel capacity, and an additional 300 net usable gallons of LNG, all in that same envelope, same volume as the original OEM tank. Again, just like in the previous systems, we have electronically normally closed cryogenic shutoff valves for the liquid side. You have a gas train module, which is that little white box that you see directly behind the cab. So that receives the gas at this stage, as I said, 70 to 150 PSI gas, and then it regulates it, pressure reduces it, and introduces it down into the engine compartment where it can be entered into the engine via the mixers at very low pressure. So in the normal course of events, the systems that we've sold in the Powder River Basin, and there will soon be some operating in Canada, are single combo tank systems. In other words, those are customers that, because of their operating profile, their fuel consumption numbers, they can operate with that single combo tank. The diesel tank remains the OEM diesel tank untouched, and they can get kind of the levels of autonomy they need and the substitution rates that they want. If they have a 24-hour refueling cycle, or they have some really 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 heavy fuel burning trucks, then we can add the additional combo tank to increase the LNG capacity. Let's talk a little bit about operator safety. One of the things that we did before we even built the first system is, you know, we sat down and asked ourselves, okay, this is new technology, new fuel being introduced into the mining sector. What what features, what things do we think are important? We talked to a couple of miners and they gave us some inputs. And we came up with some of our design parameters. I mean, one of the things that we've decided to do is put a combustible gas detector in the operator cab. At the end of the day, we found that this has really not been that necessary at all. But again, coming out of the starting blocks, new technology, new industry, wanting to be extremely secure, the only enclosed space on a haul truck is the operator cab. And natural gas, is lighter than air. If it finds an enclosed space, it can get trapped in there. There is a risk of asphyxiation. So that combustible gas detection system can detect any gas buildup and disable our system, send an alarm to the operator so he can take appropriate measures. That's one of the major things we put in there. We decided to put in a flame detection system in the engine compartment, and our philosophy is if there's something going on with that truck, if something's happening, if it's in an accident, we want to shut off the gas. So we want to cover all of those eventualities, including an engine fire. We want to shut off the gas, put it back on 100% diesel as the case may be. We also can provide an optional cab and external e-stops. Those would be a button that the operator could hit if he feels that there's a real emergency, the truck's on fire or something like that, and he's going to initiate whatever procedures he needs to initiate. Our system would probably have already detected it and shut itself off, but nevertheless, there's a button there that he could push if the customer wants to have that in there, as well as an external one, so that if there is an accident, the first responders can hit that. It's not mentioned up here, but we also typically have an inclinometer on the truck. So if there's pitch or roll beyond a particular programmed level, we will shut off the gas and flip it back to 100% diesel as well. Probably the most important thing from a safety standpoint to keep in mind here is natural gas is only combustible in a concentration between 5 and 15% by volume and air. When we're introducing gas into the inlet airstream, the concentration of natural gas in that airflow is significantly below that. If you were to take a sample of that air gas mixture, in the cylinder, let's say, you'd find that it is probably, even at the highest levels of displacement, is probably no more than, let's say, 2-3%. So what that means is that the mixture itself is not combustible. That air gas mixture will only become combustible and function as a fuel if you put it in a confined space like the cylinder and then you raise it in temperature and pressure during the compression stroke, at which point it's now a combustible mixture. But gas has a higher ignition temperature than diesel. So it still needs a high temperature ignition source, which is provided by the engine's injection of diesel into that cylinder. So that's basically the way that whole air gas mixture, diesel plus natural gas, combustion process works. I've already talked about the valving. The other thing that's important to note is natural gas tanks are basically very high-tech thermos bottles. They're double-walled tanks. You have an inner tank, then you have a super insulating material, then you have an outer tank, and they pull a vacuum in between the two tanks. So it's a very high-tech thermos bottle that keeps the liquid in liquid state for a very long time. And when we're talking about a cryogenic liquid like this, we're talking about something that's maybe while it's on the truck, maybe about -240, -230°C. So the tanks are designed to keep it in liquid form for a very long time. But nevertheless, if the truck is parked there for several days, enough heat will creep in so that some of the gas will start to boil off, and the pressure inside the tank builds up. At a certain point, when it hits 230 psi, it triggers the primary pressure relief valve on the tank. So what we do is we plumb all of those pressure relief valve settings and vents together and then run a single vent line combined out to the bottom and out the back of the truck away from the operator cab as a safety measure. That also serves a good purpose when you have to bring the truck into the shop. One of the maintenance procedures is you connect a hose to the back of that vent line and then you run that hose outside this shop to some area away from the shop, so that if there is a venting event while you're in there for your PM or whatever, the gas gets channeled out. Lastly, as part of our control algorithms, we have a feedback loop there. So if we tell the throttle bodies to open a certain percent, and they don't do that, we know that, and then we can take appropriate measures in our controls. So again, on the that was all about operator safety. From an engine protection standpoint, as I said, we always have the ability to run on 100% diesel. If our control senses something not quite right, you know, if exhaust temperatures spike or vibration levels or any other parameter that we're monitoring, we are looking at exhaust gas temperatures. We're looking at individual cylinder knock, manifold air pressure, manifold air temperature, and engine speed are the principal parameters along with several others. I wanted to just put the slide in here so that you understand that when you're talking about a project like this, it's not just about the haul truck conversion. That's kind of what we do, and as I said, we'll wrap our arms around the truck and provide all of the hardware and kit basically that's required to enable that truck to operate. But you still need a way to receive LNG that's typically delivered by cryogenic trailers. You need to store it in the mine. You need to then dispense it into the truck. That dispensing can either be done using mobile LNG refuelers such as the truck that you see there on the lower left, or you can just set up a permanent refueling station like you might have with diesel. And what you see there on the extreme right is a 18,000-gallon vertical LNG tank that has been set up as a refueling station over at Alpha Natural Resources. So this is something relatively new. They put that in this year as they expanded their fleet. Initially, what they had done is, for the pilot, is they had a 40-foot ISO container, basically just a standard-looking container that's got a big LNG tank in it that was large enough to take in a trailer load. A trailer load is typically about 9,600 gallons is what they offload. And then from there, they transferred it into a mobile LNG refueling truck, which is, the small truck on the lower right. The picture in the middle is a fixed refueling station, but it uses a large trailer-mounted tank that has its own built-in cryogenic pump and dispenser, and that's actually over at Arch Coal. And again, they've actually positioned that near their diesel refueling island, so the truck will pull in, the refueler can refuel with diesel and refuel with LNG simultaneously. And if any of you are interested in the refueling process, there's a nice little video on our website. If you click on the mining tab and you click on videos, you'll see a video there that was shot about 3 years ago of a 793 being refueled at Alpha Natural Resources. I've touched on this briefly, but from a design perspective, we wanted to have enough gas to enable you to get through a full 12-hour shift. If we're talking Komatsus, we could probably go 24 hours with a double tank. The operating substitution, the gas substitution rate, as I said, will depend on the duty cycle of the truck. That weighted average can range from, let's say, the 30s to as high as 50. But to get up there in that 50% range, you've got to be operating the truck in certain modes, i.e. very long hauls, very little idle time, that type of thing. As I mentioned, there's no decrease in the truck capacity. That's what we've been told by both Alpha and Arch. And from a performance standpoint, they kind of experience the same speed up the ramp and other performance measures. Lastly, I just want to say a little bit about some of the non-economic benefits of this thing. And clearly, there's going to be a drop in emissions. So you're going to see a drop when you're displacing certain amount of diesel with natural gas, which combusts differently. You're going to have a big drop in particulate emissions, which is really important now that PM is listed as a carcinogen. So you also have a drop in NOx, and you have a drop in CO2. From a handling standpoint, LNG doesn't contaminate the ground, so if there is a spill, it simply evaporates up into the air, and all you're left with is cold dirt, basically. So in that regard, it's very, very useful. And depending on how you do these analysis that people do nowadays, you can come up with an allocation of carbon footprint, let's say, to the whole supply chain of a fuel. And when you look at natural gas, especially natural gas that's being sourced here in the United States, that well-to-wheel type of analysis is highly favorable to the use of natural gas. Whether it's in a garbage truck or a mine truck, the analysis is pretty much the same. And that's basically about it. I mean, the message here is that, you know, there's a retrofit conversion technology that's available today. The supply of LNG in the U.S. is increasing. I think we have a, you know, we have a, I was going to say it's a mixed blessing, but it really is a blessing. I mean, the amount of natural gas that we have in the United States is such that if you are relying on gas for anything, whether it's petrochemical processing or powering a school bus or what we're doing, you know, the supply is there and the price is very, very cheap as compared to other countries. So with that, I'll take any questions you might have, and I'll be around later if we want to ask any other questions.
Did you need to get any clearance from NIOSH or MSHA for this similar to underground diesel or any kind of safety clearance like that?
Well, we don't, number one, we don't do anything underground. That's we've been asked, but we've stayed away from any underground stuff. You don't want to introduce natural gas in an environment where you're actually trying to take it out. We had MSHA come out to our test in Appalachia. At that point, you know, they really didn't know much about anything. This was just a local MSHA guy that was there. Since then, we and our two customers in the Powder River Basin have actually hosted teams from West Virginia out there to look at the systems, understand the refueling process, kind of understand the technology, and it's very early days for them. What they're trying to do is get a handle on what's out there, and unfortunately for the mines, they're also looking to see, okay, what can we write you up for if you're not doing it right? But it's, again, it's very, very early stage. There's no guidelines, there's no IMSHA standard or anything like that for this type of technology. Anything else? Yeah.
Hello. Is there any calculation of savings that you have done comparing against the normal consumption with only diesel?
Yeah, I mean, it's the actual savings are obviously the you know, the property or the proprietary to the individual mine, because they, one thing, you know, we don't know what they're paying for their LNG. We don't get involved in the supply of LNG. Obviously, we have some ideas, and you can, you know, you can look up the rack price for diesel in the Powder River Basin and come up with that. But the variables are going to be obviously diesel price, LNG price, the level of substitution that you're going to achieve over the duty cycle. And as I said, it's not just a single number like I may have had in that chart. It's a dynamic varying number across the load range. And then the fourth parameter is going to be, how much diesel are we really talking about to start with? I mean, it's one thing to have a truck that burns 400 gallons a day and another thing to have a truck that burns 800 gallons a day. Obviously, the level of savings that you're going to generate on a dollar basis are significantly higher. The more diesel you're burning, then, you know, the more you displace, the bigger the savings. So to answer your question, I've got models that I use where I can plug in those variables, but the ultimate owner of that information, or the guy that really knows, is Alpha Natural Resources and Arch. And I guess the only thing I would say is that, you know, they've obviously seen enough savings to enable them to kind of go forward with their investment.
Another question, sorry. And what about savings in maintenance? You have seen any impact in maintenance of the equipment? Any difference?
Not really. You know, theoretically, you would see if you're burning, you know, if you're running with gas a lot, you would expect the oil change intervals to maybe be extended a bit. You know, you expect the oil lab, the lab test to come back indicating the oil is cleaner because you don't have as much soot in the combustion process. But again, that's stuff that they see, the mines themselves, they don't necessarily share that with us. That's part of their internal, you know, evaluation.
Does a gallon of LNG deliver the same amount of energy or similar to a gallon
not
of diesel?
Not at all. Not at all. Good question. LNG is a less energy dense fluid in liquid form, so typically, you know, you use a it ranges depending on the temperature at which you take the measurement of the BTU content, because it changes, the density changes rather dramatically when you're dealing with a cryogenic fluid. So typically we use, for modeling purposes, you can use anywhere from 1.6 to as much as 1.7 as the, you know, 1 gallon of diesel equals 1.7 gallons of LNG on a diesel equivalent basis. It could be less than that, again, depending on what the BTU content of the fuel is. You need to look at lower heating value of diesel versus lower heating value of natural gas.
Thanks,
Jordan. Okay.
One more. We're quite a bit over here.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We got a high level of interest. Right there.
Thank you. I have a question. Were any of those trucks fitted with diesel particulate filters beforehand? And then did that change? Have you talked to any of the air quality management districts or anything like that that might change?
No. None of these are. These were older trucks, I guess. So there was no diesel particulate filters on them. The test that we did in Komatsu, we did install diesel oxidation catalyst mufflers in lieu of the existing mufflers, and we did do some emissions tests, which kind of validated some of the previous history that we had seen in diesel to natural gas when we did emissions testing in stationary generators.
Thanks, Jordan.